What? Good morning. Who's got a song they'd like to sing? I unfortunately have the only book here. Carolina? Thirty-six. That's Hear Christ Calling, Come Unto Me. Would somebody like to start that for me? And out of doors.
Mary.
else have another one? Anybody else not in my family? All right, Annie? 52. All right, I need to see some hands. We're going to sing 52, and then I'm going to say, does anybody else have another song? And then one of you guys, raise your hand. There's songs 1 through 104. There's a lot of choices, except we already sang a couple of them, but essentially 100 songs you can choose. 52.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Have a song you'd like to sing? There we go. Now I see some hands. You in the red sweater. 59. All right, let's talk about Jesus.
Let's talk about Jesus. Thank you.
going to say our verses, and if we have some more time after our talk, maybe we can sing a couple more. Lord, we just thank you for the tremendous blessing of your Son and the work that he did for us on the cross in dying and paying the penalty of sin, the penalty of death. And we thank you for providing us an escape from this penalty. And we pray for the words that are spoken. We just pray that they resonate with the young ones and old ones alike. And we just pray for all these things. In the name of the Son of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
All right, we got a verse to say. It's found in John 6, 47. And hopefully I can get a couple more volunteers than I did for singing. But I'm only going to be able to pick a few of you. And then, oh, look at that, we got some volunteers. We're only going to be maybe 5 to 10 people. I'm going to say it first, and then we'll start picking some people. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John 6, 47. How about we pick about two people from each of these four groups? All right, I got a microphone.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he who that believeth on the name
on me hath everlasting life.
Hath everlasting life. John 3:17.
47. Pretty good. Anybody else? We got another volunteer from this row. You want to be a volunteer? All right.
Okay. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life. John 6:47.
All right. Got to move on. All right.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me hath everlasting life. John 6:47.
Good job. All right, Danny, you want to try?
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me shall have everlasting life. John
6:37. All right. All right.
He that believeth on, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John 6:47.
We'll do all three. All right.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John 6:47.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on him hath everlasting life.
John 6:47.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me shall have everlasting life. John 6:47.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John 6:47.
Right.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John 6:47.
Good job. All right. All right. Our verse here says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John 6:47. So I want to talk to you kids about something I know a lot about and something I don't know a tremendous amount about, but that I am very excited to experience. I want to talk to you about pruning and how it relates to eternal life. I don't know much about eternal life. I've never experienced it. I've only experienced 34 years of life. And Some have experienced more, and some in the past have experienced tremendous amounts. There was a man who lived to be 900. I don't think I'm going to make it that long. But maybe I'll make it to 100. So let's talk about pruning. Does anybody know what pruning is? No? Maybe I'll... Got some kids with some horticulture backgrounds. A couple kids might know. But I'll explain it to you. We're going to talk about pruning as it pertains to trees. Pruning, as it pertains to trees, is a very important job. It is necessary for the tree's health and for the tree's vigor and for the tree's longevity. So vigor is essentially how well it grows. So is it going to be happy and healthy? So as these trees grow and develop according to the tendencies that God created them, God created them, back up a little bit, as the trees grow according to the way that God created them, we have oak trees, we have elm trees, we have maple trees, we have all these different kinds of trees. And each of these different species of trees grows a little bit different. The oak trees grow tall and they're broad, and the elm trees have a tendency to grow narrow and they're kind of vase-shaped. And so each of these different types of trees have different ways of growing. But as these trees grow, they each have a tendency to develop branches on them that are a hindrance to their growth. And that is where the pruning comes in. We usually use the 5 D's of pruning when we address a new tree that we want to promote its health, its vigor, and its aesthetics. And those 5 D's are, is there anything dead, anything dying, anything damaged, diseased, or undesirable? Those are the 5 D's that we typically look at. So everybody knows what a dead branch looks like, and you want to take that off of the tree so it doesn't hurt the tree. And anything that looks like it's dying, sometimes you'll see yellowing leaves or part of it is already dead, and so we'd have to take those off because those will end up hindering the tree's growth. And then there's damage. Sometimes we get big branches that get damaged by wind or snow or even lightning strikes, and those we have to remove too. And then the last two are diseased and undesirable. And diseased are typically caused by, where I live in Indiana, we could go with insects also. We had a round of emerald ash borer. It came up here from Michigan, came in some packaging crates from over in Asia, and it came through and it killed all the ash trees. We also had Dutch elm disease that it went through and killed most of the elm trees. And there's a few new varieties out, but it killed most of them. And that was a disease that wiped out a large population of trees. And then there's things that are undesirable. And usually those are things that are dictated, at least from my standpoint, from a customer. They want these trees to look shapely. So we want to raise the lower canopies so that it gets sunlight and open them up so that the wind can blow through them and make them look nice and round. They always like them looking round. Occasionally we have to make them look square, but mostly just round. And so we take care of these 5 D's, and it's necessary to cut these off. And we use tools when we cut them off. So when a tree is very young, we don't do this, but this is typically done in tomato plants and mums. You don't typically do it in trees, but when they're very, very young, you can do something called pinching, where you just use your fingernail as a tool, and you can pinch little branches off because they're still green and soft. You ever pinched a dandelion? That's to blow all the dandelions or seeds around. That's the same concept. You just pinch it with your fingernail. And then as it grows, Where we typically start is with a pruner. So I've got some Felco 2s. Great pruner. Now, what do we use these for? We use these to cut little branches off. The tree's small sometimes, or the branches that we want to cut off are small. And we typically take care of trees that are young with a pruner, a hand pruner. Anything probably about the size of my thumb or smaller. Sometimes we get bigger in there if you squeeze really hard, but we got to take branches off. We got to take branches off that tree. That tree spent time growing that, but it was not for the tree's best interest. And sometimes those we have to get to bigger branches. And so I like this saw. This is a Zubat. So we use this to cut branches probably from from anywhere bigger than my thumb to about 2 inches. And these are cutting bigger branches that didn't get taken care of when they were younger. They grew up, and so now they're a bigger problem. They have a bigger scar on the side of the tree, and they cost the tree more in resources to take it off. So we use these. And sometimes the trees don't get taken care of as best as they can. So sometimes we have to climb up in them, and we use a chainsaw. Does that anybody know what a chainsaw is? So this is a climbing saw. We carry this up in the trees. And so I can cut anything up to about 16 inches or 18 inches. So when we cut off bigger limbs like this, we're even cutting bigger parts of the tree. I'll go put this on the table because I don't want to carry it. So we cut this, even bigger problems, bigger issues with the tree, we have to cut to take care of the tree's health, to keep it growing well. And sometimes we get into issues of, I just had to take care of a tree a couple weeks ago. We had a big windstorm came in, and the tree got hit, and the big branch came out of it. And it was a big old maple tree. It was a big red maple. And so it took the top out, and we had to end up taking the whole tree down because of it. And so we used this bigger saw. So we had to use a little bit bigger of a saw to take care of this. So this is about twice the size of that. And this is not fun to take in a tree. And so we have to use a bigger saw sometimes to take care of these bigger problems that arise because of putting off the early pruning that we could have done when it was younger. It was a bad branch. It grew poorly, and it got too long, and it caught the wind, and it broke. So we had to take a big part of the tree out, actually the whole tree. So sometimes we have to use even a bigger saw. But, I'm showing my car. Never guess what's under there. But once in a while, we have to take down a very big tree because there was a big maple tree. I didn't take it down, but I cut the stump out. And it was a very, very big maple tree. It was a big silver maple. And when it was young, it grew up probably 5 or 6 feet tall, and then it decided it was going to split off into two separate branches. And those two separate branches grew and grew and grew for many, many, many different, many, many years. And it essentially grew two separate trees, but with one trunk. And where they connected, down where they split off when they were young, they got rotten and they got too heavy. And they became dangerous because one of those was going to fall. And so they chopped it down. And so sometimes you have to even get a bigger pruning tool. So I got a really big saw for pruning very big trees. And this is not what we take up in a tree, unless we were cutting a sequoia down maybe. But So this, we can cut down 4-foot-long branch, 4-foot-wide trees, or bigger. And so this is for even bigger problems. And if we have to use this, we're not pruning anymore. We're mostly removing. And so that is most of the tools we use for pruning or taking care of the trees. And so this pruning kind of reminds me of us as people. As when I was a child, I started out as a little young sprout. And my parents, they trained me. And they did a lot of the pinching. And every day I grew, and I grew, and I grew. And then I grew up to be a young sapling, like some of these kids in the front rows. Yeah. And as we each grew, and as I grew and developed, I grew as the tendencies that God created me. I'm a little bit different than all of you guys, and each one of you is a little bit different than the next person. We were each created unique, even more unique than the trees, because they have different groups, but we are all individually made. And as we grew, as we grow, I grew. I had a tendency to do things that were not, shall we say, not the best. I made some bad decisions. And I didn't always please my mom and dad. And sometimes they had to prune me. And sometimes I got a spanking. I don't know if any of you kids have ever had to get a spanking. Probably not. It looks like a bunch of good kids. But I had to get a spanking. And these tendencies were harmful to me. And they're not like the 5 D's. I didn't have those problems necessarily. I had something called sin. I had a problem called sin. Does anybody know what sin is? Raise your hand if you know what sin is. There we go. A few people know what sin is. Well, I'll tell you what sin is, and then by the end, you should all be able to raise your hand. So this sin is a tricky thing. It stems from my old nature, you see. My old nature comes from way, 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 way back to a man and a woman called Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were perfect people. And these perfect people, they never sinned until one day they did. And because of that, each one of us has that nature. Each one of us has that tendency to resist the way that God created us to be. He wanted us, each one of us, he has a plan for us. And we all decide at some point, no, I don't want to do that. I want to do it my way. I want to grow over here. And so sometimes we have to get pruned. And the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even though some of you didn't raise your hands and didn't know what sin was, maybe. Or maybe you're just shy. But the Bible says all have sinned. And these sins need to be pruned, just like in my life.
Sorry.
My sins had to be pruned. Each one of you do too. Because these sins have a tendency to take over, and they will destroy us. And you say, destroy us? Are you sure? I'm positive. Because in the Bible it says, "In the sting of death is sin." Because of these sins, there is death. Adam and Eve were perfect, And essentially, if they would have never sinned, they would have just lived on forever. But they sinned. And so the penalty for sin is death. And all of creation suffers because of that. Not just us, but the plants and the animals all are affected by that sin. So we all will die. It says, it is appointed unto men once to die. That's in Hebrews 9. And so we will all die. And we will all have to pay the penalty for our sins. While we can improve our lives down here, we can sort of judge these sins, so to speak. We can take these sins and say, you know what? I told a lie, but I'm not going to tell another lie. You know, that'll help you out a lot. Telling the truth will help you out. It'll help your life. It'll give you a good projection on your life. Not becoming jealous of something. Jealousy is, you can't stand against jealousy. And if you become jealous and you let it get a root of bitterness, it'll ruin you. And you can judge that. But no matter of being able to judge it, you can't get away from the death. And you can't get away from the penalty of sin. You can judge that sin in your life and you can improve your life, but you still will die. And you still have to pay the penalty for that sin. But so how do we get these sins removed? Well, in the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So we have to believe on the Lord Jesus and we can be saved from the penalty of these sins because He is our Creator and He is our pruner, so to speak. And we have to submit these sins to Him so that He can shape us and He can prune them away. And He can pay for the penalty of those. See, He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So while we may never experience everlasting life down here, because of the effects of sin, we have the promise that we can experience it if we ask the Lord Jesus to wash our sins away. We ask Him to save us from our sins. And we also need to remember that we don't want to put that off until it's too late. Sometimes we put it off too late. And we have to take out this big saw here. And we had to cut the tree down. It was too late for that tree. It was too late to save it. It was broke. It fell down. We couldn't save it. We had to cut it down. And there's many people in this world that they won't, by choice, or sometimes they don't even know that they are sinners. And they have to pay. They grow up and they pay the effects of those sins and they get cut down. So remember, it's not too late today to ask the Lord to save you. All right, let's see what time it is. Got about 5 to 10 minutes. Do I have any ambitious volunteers for some songs? I see 3, 4, 5 hands. That's pretty good. Megan? 11. All right. Number 9. That's a good one. I need some help. We have breaking of bread at 10:45. Do you have any special announcements or anything anybody needs to know? What? Lord, just thank you for the many blessings that you've given to us. We thank you for this opportunity to speak to the kids. We teach them about you and the work you did and how it's not too late to ask for your forgiveness and for your salvation. And we pray that we can keep this afresh in our hearts as we have breaking of bread in remembrance of you. And we pray that we can keep the busy thoughts of the week and of our lives on hold as we remember this important work, and we thank you for all these things. In the name of the Son of Jesus, amen.